Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. I just got back from Sedona. You noticed, maybe you didn't, I was on tape on Friday. I needed a spiritual recharge, which I got in Arizona, to one of the power points, the Boynton Vortex. If you ever been to Sedona, where the male-female yin-yang energy is stronger than any other point on the planet, except for maybe some points in Kauai. And I highly recommend you go to Sedona in case you need a spiritual surge. You know, it is said, especially in Dick Sutphin's book, Sedona, that you can become more psychic and more aware, more intuitive, and more powerful by just going to Sedona. You know, that's why the Indians don't choose to live there, because the ground is so sacred that they just go there to pray and recharge and to have communion with the Great Spirit. And that's why I would find it difficult to live right there in Sedona myself. I might live on the outskirts and drive into the vortexes if I wanted to get charged. What's sad about it is that there's a lot of people living right there near and in the vortexes, which kind of blasphemes the energy there, but still the energy is strong. Rumor has it there's a huge crystal buried under all the vortexes, but for whatever reason, I'm happy to be back, and I highly recommend that trip to anyone that needs to be rebirthed and charged. Okay. We're going to talk about house vibrations and relationships today, planetary placement of planets, and the importance of getting rising sign similarity in relationship comparisons. So that could be something very exciting for all of you today, today's show. This topic is very interesting because this topic has a lot to do with compatibility. I have come in under the experience and the belief recently that, first of all, if you have a same rising sign as a person, that's interesting. That's very interesting. The reason I've noticed that a lot of people I have gotten along with and loved and related to have the same rising sign. And I've also advised a lot of my friends that want to find good relationship compatibility to find someone with the same rising sign. Doesn't have to be the exact same, but if it is, that, of course, will make for uncanny compatibility. Now, interesting thing that we find out, people say, why is that, Farley? Why do you want somebody with the same rising sign? Well, I'll tell you why. Because if they have planets, the same planets in their charts already that are in the same signs, like let's say the person, for example, is a Leo, like me, with Libra rising, like me, and their sun does happen to fall in the 10th house, like mine, well, because they are already Libra rising, they have a 10th house factor in their chart from their sun sign that we call Capricorn Leo factor. Okay, now why do people say, why is that, Farley? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the 10th house is a Capricorn factor house. In other words, no matter what your rising is, if you have a planet in the 10th house, it's going to gain a Capricorn effect, a Capricorn factor, which means you are going to have the sensitive skin like Capricorns. You are going to have the career ambition and the need for to be successful and the need for public appearances and public connection and attachment from that 10th house vibration. So not only do you get the personality communion from rising signs, but because that person has the same sun in the same sign and the same house, there's like an adherence or a reflection or a congeniality or a communion that takes place that can be very stunning because, see, Leos are very different. Leos are very different because, see, if you're a Leo with Pisces rising, okay, let me make this clear, then your sun's going to be in the sixth house, approximately. You know, let's say you're Pisces 1 rising and you have Leo at 10 degrees sun sign. So we go Pisces, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo. So your sixth house starts at 2 degrees Leo. So you are Pisces rising with a Leo sun in the sixth house. Well, the sixth house is the Virgo factor house. So if we want to know where you're coming from, what your sun essence, what your soul essence is, it's a combination of the Leo sun sign, because it's the sun is in Leo when you were born, and Virgo factor, because it lies in the sixth house. Now, this person is going to be a hell of a lot different than me as a Leo, because I'm a Leo with Libra rising and sun in the 10th house, which is a Capricorn factor sun. And the other person is a Leo with Pisces rising sun in the sixth house, a Virgo factor sun. So they have Leo sun, Virgo factor in their chart, and then they have, and I have a Leo sun with Capricorn factor in my chart. So, you know, there's going to be a real big difference as far as where our souls are coming from, because my soul is coming from more of a management and a success mode, whereas this person with a sixth house sun would be more of a worker or a Virgo mode type person. You know, where it really gets uncanny and eerie is, let's say you're dating someone, you're Aquarius rising around 15, they're Aquarius rising at 16, you have Venus in Pisces, okay? Venus in Pisces at 20, right, in the 12th house. And now that's a double Pisces effect, because not only do you have Venus in Pisces, but it's also in the 12th house, which is a Pisces factor house. Because, let me get this straight. Any planets in any of one of the 12th houses will adhere to a very significant astrological energy, no matter what sign it's in. In other words, anything in the 12th house is going to be like unto a Pisces planet. Well, let me use another example so we don't confuse you too much here. Let's say you have Taurus rising, right? And let's say that you have Venus and Aries in the 12th house, right? Then that Venus is going to have a much stronger Piscean influence on your life, because it's located in the Piscean influence house. The Piscean factor house is the 12th house. That's why I'm so psychic. Because even though I have Mars and Neptune in Libra, they are in my 12th house, so they are like unto Pisces planets, Mars and Neptune in the 12th. So if I meet people with Libra planets in the 12th house that have Piscean factor, I will relate to them, because we share a Libra-Pisces connection from that location, that planet. So when it comes to compatibility, it's very important to know this, because let's say you have Mars and Taurus in the 8th house, and you're dating someone with Venus in Taurus in the second house, okay? Well, your Mars in Taurus is going to have a Scorpio factor effect from the 8th house location, and their Venus in Taurus would normally be compatible to you, but it's going to have a double whammy Taurus effect, because it's located in Taurus factor. So they like have Venus in Taurus and Taurus factor, and you have Mars in Taurus and Scorpio factor, which might not be as compatible if you find someone that had Venus in Taurus in the 8th house on your Mars in the 8th house, both of you having a Scorpio factor attached to that Taurus planet. I hope that's clear. Let me go over the factors for each of the 12th houses. This is an extremely advanced topic, and I want you new beginners here and newcomers to bear with me, because a lot of folks have been listening to the show for a long time, and they not only deserve, but they welcome these advanced topics. So those of you that need to find out more about how to get your chart done and learn more about astrology. But just suffice it to say that once you do get your chart done, and once you do study your chart and find out that you do have a rising sign and a moon sign, and find out that you do have planets in their signs, like I have Scorpio moon and Mars and Libra and Venus and Cancer and so forth, I want you to really embrace the significance of what houses your planets are in. Because true astrologers, advanced astrologers, and people that are really into this, find out truly where a person is coming from by identification of the house placement of planets, okay? Which means that even if you are Mars in Virgo in your chart, if you're Virgo rising and Mars falls in your first house, that is the Aries factor house. That means any planet in that first house is going to have the Aries enthusiasm, the childhood influences, the childhood karma, and the personality emphasis that any planet in Aries would have. Okay? So I have a Scorpio moon, and it's in my first house. So there's an emphasis on my appearance, on my personality, on my childhood, and all those things that are like unto Aries because of that first house factor. And I did this topic a few weeks ago, but it's so important, I wanted to do it again to make sure that it does sink in. Okay, let's continue. So let's say you do have planets in the first house, then you're going to get along with a lot of people that have planets in their first houses. And all people with Mars in the first house, no matter what their sign or what signs they're in, relate better to each other because of that enthusiasm and energy that they share. You know, there's a definite Aryan enthusiasm that people share when they have planets in the first house. Okay? So that's important. That's an Aries factor. The second house is the Taurus factor. Whoever called on line one, please hold on. The second house is Taurus factor, so anyone that has any planets in the second house could have that stubborn, arrogant, money-oriented, karmic attachment to their lives that Taurus bestows. Okay? Now, you might wonder why you talk so much without Gemini planets or why you ask so many questions. But if you find out you have planets in house three, and you know, those of you that are beginners with astroscopes, you might want to kind of fumble through your astroscopes a little bit there and find the planetary locations by houses. It says right there in your astroscope, moon in house one or moon in house two or Mars in house five, Mars in house six. And specifically, you are not going to learn astrology until you memorize what houses your planets are in, not just the signs, but the houses. So if you're fumbling through your astroscope and you find that you do have Uranus in house three, that's just like having Uranus in Gemini, no matter what sign it's in. Because third house planets reflect the Gemini factor, which means they love to talk, they love to ask questions, they love to learn, they're busy and nervous, just like all Geminis. It rules the lungs, they may smoke, and also they may do a lot of short trips and have karma with brothers and sisters. So that's the reflection that third house planets have. The fourth house is the puppy dog house, that's the nurturing house. And that's the house where people who have planets have been known to be a lot more sensitive, a lot more mellow, a lot more tender, and reflect a Cancerian nature. See? So you might not have any water in your chart, but be as tender and sweet and puppy dogish as anyone with Venus or Mars or Moon or Cancer rising, because you have planets in that fourth house. Now, the only exception with this topic would be Saturn. Because Saturn is a planet that either takes away, removes, restricts, or contracts. Okay? If you have Saturn in any of these houses, it would not epitomize the house energy. It would remove it and substantiate or signify a karma. Now, also, in case you have any planets in the fourth house, it would put you more bonded or more in touch with your mother, with your security, with your home, with real estate, and all Cancerian things. Emphasis on Leo factor in the fifth house. People with fifth house planets have been known to be arrogant and stubborn and wild, enthusiastic, extrovert, and gregarious like any Leo type being. Fifth house planets will reflect and imitate Leo factor in their chart. Okay? Then we find people that can be just as critical, just as analytical, just as workaholic-oriented, and health-conscious, like both of my parents. Isn't it interesting to note that some of this astrological compatibility works so well, my mother having Mars in Libra, my father having Mars in Taurus, that are so alien to each other, those Marses, and also what we do find is they both have Mars in the sixth house, which is the Virgo factor house, and they're both workaholics. They're both extremely analytical. They can both be very critical, and they're both very health conscious. They spend lots of times with doctors. They love doctors and dentists. See, so if you have any planets in the sixth house, that would emphasize and reinforce Virgo factor in your chart. See what I mean? You don't have to have any Virgo in your chart to be just as prudent and hardworking and analytical and service-oriented as a Virgo person. That's why I tell people, if you want hard workers, then you want to get workers that either have Virgo in their charts are planets in the sixth house, with the exception of Saturn, which might be lazy if it's in Virgo or the sixth house, or have karma if it's in with Virgo or sixth house placing. I hope you're learning something with this topic, because this, you know, this is an advanced topic. I don't want to lose any of you in this topic, but this topic is absolutely necessary for you to understand astrology and astrological compatibility for sure. Okay, so something definitely to think about. Let's cross over to the top horizon now, the seventh house. And you know, it's so interesting to note people with seventh house planets are so ready to get in relationships and get married so much. They seem to be obsessed with partnerships, relationships, and marriage. And it's not an accident, right? You could have Venus or Mars in Pisces or Moon in Pisces in the seventh house, and once again, it will reflect that Libra force, because Libra energy lives in the seventh house. So no matter what sign it is, and to really, really dig deep on planetary meanings, of course, we should combine the sign the planet's in with the house factor vibration that comes from where it is placed in the house, combined with the aspects to totally understand a person's personality and where they're coming from. So, you know, that's why whenever I meet a woman or a guy who's got seventh house planets, they're either going to hit me up with partnerships or they're going to hit me up with a need to relate and get married or whatever. And we do find a lot of people with marriage karma. Now, if they're not happily married, oftentimes they go through a lot of marriages, like 4, 5, or 6. That's why when I do a reading with a private client, I'll see a seventh house son. I'll go, how many times have you been married? They usually say 3 or 4, you know, or 2, you know. And that really is interesting. Now, the eighth house is a real puppy house. But the eighth house, you know, is the Scorpio factor house. You know, so we find the horns and the passion and the compassion and the need to be occult and Scorpio-like when you have eighth house planets. I used to know a friend of mine, a Sagittarian lady, who had her son in the eighth, because she was a late Aries rising, and her son in Sag was placed in the 8th. And she was just as intense, and from what she told me, as passionate as any Scorpio woman could be. And, you know, you might want to look at your lover's chart or your boyfriend or girlfriend's chart and notice to see if they have any 8th house planets, with the exception of Saturn, to try to understand their emotional needs and why they are so intense and deep and extremist. You know, that energy from the 8th house reflects a love-hate type of vibration. That's why you want to keep them happy, keep them smiling, because they could have that love-hate, that extreme Scorpio vibration from 9th house, 8th house factor. Now, I was just very much interested yesterday. What inspired this topic is I have a friend of mine who is a Libra rising who happens to have a Cancer planet on my Venus in the 9th house. Well, the 9th house is Sagittarius factor. So don't you see the beauty of this compatibility factor is that I have a Cancer planet in Cancer planet with Sag factor in the 9th house, and this person has a Cancer planet on my Cancer planet with Sag factor in the 9th house, and that's why I met them, you know, in Sedona. They were traveling, of course, doing the spiritual sabbatical like I was at the same timing I was, because they were in a position where they related exactly to where I was coming from, emotionally from the Cancer factor, philosophically from the Sag factor, and also travel-wise from the Sag factor. So that's why it's so interesting to try to find people that have your same planets or similar planets in the same sign, but also placed in the same house. That means they would have pretty much the same rising sign as yours. That's why whenever you meet someone that has your same rising sign, and if it's within 5 to 10 degrees, bingo, if they have any planet sitting on top of your planets, they're going to adhere to your sign and your house qualities, and that will just inject and fortify your compatibility, making it almost magical. That's why a lot of my friends have been Libra risings, a lot of people I relate to, a lot of people I know and love. Just like me, it's like a separate tribe of Indians. And that's why when you get into astrology, you really should get into your house vibrations and your rising signs. Okay, let's finish this up now. The 9th house represents Sag factor, an independent, travel-oriented, philosophical, happy, loving, optimistic, clown-type people that reflect the Sag vibration. See, I have Jupiter in Sag in the second house in the Taurus house. So I have Jupiter, Sag, Taurus factor from the second house placement, and Venus and Uranus. Venus in Cancer, Uranus in Gemini, in the 9th house, both with Sag factor. That's why I'm so optimistic. I am loaded with Sagittarius vibration in my chart. And that helps really counter my Scorpio moon with 4 squares on it. See how it works? Okay. And then, finally, we have the 10th house, which epitomizes and reflects the Capricorn energy, which I talked about, which is your practical, logical, career, ambitious, need to succeed, need to be famous effect. Then the 11th house would be the Aquarian factor, or the ingenious, intellectual, humanitarian, mental, and also variety, changeable type person that will reflect Aquarian vibration. Then 12th house planets, like I said, will also reflect the Piscean, the psychic, the spiritual. You'll find some of your most psychic and trance-like, mediumistic type people with planets in that 12th house, no matter what sign they're in. Like I say, with the exception of Saturn, that will imitate a Piscean force, Okay? So please, please get down the rising sign compatibility and the house vibrations for compatibility, and also understanding house vibrations to understand yourself and others that much better. A critical topic, astrologically based. At this point, you may be sitting there going, Farley, you got me. I may have been listening to this show for a while, and even though it started off advanced, I did get to a point where it was explained a lot easier for all to understand. One final comment on this topic. My point here is that you don't have to have planets in the same signs to be compatible. If you find out that you're dating someone who has Mars in the 12th like you do, no matter what sign it's in, there's going to be a connection. Or let's say you're dating someone who has Venus in the 8th and you have Sun in the 8th on their Venus in any sign, there's going to be a connection. That's why oftentimes family lines, when they are born, like my mom and dad's chart, they have a lot of planets in similar houses. It's that house vibration that makes them compatible. Okay? I hope you understood that topic.